I think I was with you folks at the end of the end of last year. I don't think I've been with you since then. So it is very good to be with you. Very quickly, I'd like to just as you're having an AGM, I chose not to come today just because you had some stuff going on, and so but I am really going to try to make it in person this year. I've got a few dates already planned, so I'm really going to make an effort to do that because although this method has been quite convenient with the responsibilities that I have, but it is good to be with you folks as well. And let's just pray and ask the Lord's blessing. And thank you, Derek, for sharing your testimony and how God reached and saved you and some of the experiences you had. And may the Lord continue to help you and bless you as you serve and grow in the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for these moments we can be together. May your name be exalted and glorified today as we open up your word. And help us, Lord, to truly love you and prioritize you in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As let's see. I'm just gonna, there we go. Wanted to have the audience here. I see the back of your heads, and I can guess who you are. So I think I see my friend Ian McWilliams there. I see the back of your head, brother. And it's great, and Sherry Lynn and others. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to read there. And in the second part of the chapter, and what we're going to take a look at, and I'm just going to share my screen with you. Share my screen as I've got some notes here. Oh, can someone give me the opportunity to share the screen? That would be great. I appreciate that. Okay, I'll just. There we go. Thank you. Really appreciate that. I should have mentioned that to you before. My apologies. That's my fault. As we work together here, and as we, I'm going to share here. I've got to unmute myself. Sorry about that. I guess I've been talking and you haven't been listening. Okay. you can hear me now, correct? And but in your heart, set apart Christ as holy, acknowledging him, giving him first place in your lives as Lord. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope and confident assurance that is within you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. I love this verse because I think it really reflects what we need to really aim for in our Christian walk. I'm not one to do this very much, although once in a while I do tweet out certain things, but I got really bothered by a pastor who came out and said some very, very inappropriate, mean things for anybody who's not a follower of Christ. He tends to ridicule people of other faiths. He tends to ridicule other Christians. And he's known for that. But I quoted this verse to him as I saw that he was really, for me, it was damaging what the testimony of Christ is. And, you know, he never answered back because he couldn't, because the latter part of this verse really challenged him. And it's about the fact that we need to be confident in how we stand up for our faith, but we have to do it with gentleness and respect. But I want to take a look at the very first part of this chapter. And this is something that we've kind of set apart for 2023. A couple verses that have stood out for me, and this would be the verse that I have personally chosen, as well as encouraged others to choose a verse for this year. And it's a verse that is well known by many of us, but it really encompasses, I think, some things that are very, very important for us, especially today, as we identify as Christians, as we identify as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Derek has shared with us his testimony and some of the things that he went through, and in a sense, an identity crisis, that his identity was found in relationships. His identity was found in those things that are temporal, things that come and go, and we know that if we put our faith and trust in people, they will always disappoint. But when we put our faith and trust in God, he's unchanging, he's constant, he's consistent. And that's what we truly love and appreciate about the Lord. And it says there, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as holy, acknowledging him first in your lives as Lord. And so let's begin there. Now, what we always need to do is understand that honoring God is our priority. Now, we have a context, though, and that's the context we have to look at is Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11 to 15. If you could turn over to Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11 to 15. And the context for the beginning part of this verse is that we need to understand it from really from verse 13, where we'll just keep your fingers in these two places. It says verse 13 of 1 Peter 3, it says, now who is there to harm you if you're zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense. Now this is the ESV, who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And so what we have to do is look at context. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11 to 15 says the following. It says, for the Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me, and warned me not to walk in the way of the people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. I look at this word conspiracy, I think of all the conspiracy theories that go on in the news today, and it's interesting. God in his word discusses this, and they knew in Isaiah's time, they knew what it was to deal with conspiracies. But verse 13 says, but the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. And he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense, a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. This is really saying that the truth of God the truth of God is really what will ensnare people, and not ensnare, but it will make them stumble. They will make it will call to attention what is going on in their lives. And so the beginning part of 1 Peter chapter 3, where it says to set apart Christ as Lord, to really set apart what God wants from our lives. And verse 13 to 15 of 1 Peter 3 really have to do at the beginning with this context here. Peter quoted Isaiah chapter 8, and he says, and the reason he does it is that the setting was this. Isaiah was calling out Ahaz, king of Judah. Ahaz, king of Judah, faced a crisis because of an impending invasion of the Assyrian army. And so the kings in the of Israel and Syria, they wanted Ahaz, the king, to join them in an alliance, but Ahaz refused. So Israel and Syria threatened to invade Judah. But behind the scenes, Ahaz confederated himself with Assyria. So on the front, he was saying, oh, no, I won't do this. But actually, behind the scenes, he was actually doing exactly what they were asking him to do. He was confederating with them. And so behind the scenes, he was doing that. So the prophet Isaiah, being the prophet of God, he called him out. And he warned him against ungodly alliances. And so he urged him to trust God for deliverance. So that's what we have here today, is that he says to him in verse 13, he says, but sanctify, he says, but Lord, Isaiah 8 and 13, he says, but the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. In other words, in another version, basically it says, but truly sanctify the Lord of hosts, or the armies himself, and let him be your fear and let him be your dread. In other words, that's where Peter was talking to who he was writing to. He was saying, this is set back. This isn't new information. This is news that is still relevant today. And it's relevant to us today. It was relevant in Isaiah's time. It was relevant in Peter's time. And it's relevant in our time. Set apart Christ as Lord. Make God and honor him and give him your priority. Don't make unholy alliances. Don't make unholy alliances. Today, we have a tendency to make unholy alliances. Even as believers, we sometimes can get caught up in some sort of unholy alliance. It could be in a relationship that both don't share the same faith. That could be one way. There could be business practices, or even our compromise with the world. And each one of us have to assess those things, because the Word of God prophetically challenges us. It challenged prophetically to Ahaz. And so that's where the context is. And that's what he was trying to help him understand. So as Christians, we're often faced with crisis. And what is it to be set apart? To set apart God is how you face crisis and fears. Now, let's turn, I'm going to put it up on the screen, to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. And let's read it there. This is Peter a little bit later on, and he says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer, as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God, and it begins with us. What will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. I think this section of scripture is quite self-explanatory, but let me say this, that as Christians, we are often faced with a crisis. Sometimes we're tempted to give into some of our fears, and we make wrong decisions. But when we set apart Christ as Lord, when we sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, we never need to fear men or even circumstances. Our enemies might hurt us, but they can't harm us. Let me repeat that. Our enemies might hurt us, but they cannot harm us. Only we can harm ourselves when we fail God, and we fail to trust him. So generally speaking, people do not oppose us if we do good, but even if they do, it is better to suffer for righteousness' sake than to compromise our testimony. And that's what Peter is addressing here in 1 Peter 4. He says, you go ahead and murder someone, you go ahead and are a thief, you're an evildoer, you're a meddler, and you suffer for that. Don't complain, you know, that's just foolish. Those are the consequences. But we see that even in today. For example, in this last week, there has been a lot in the news with regard to some of these people that went into the state cap or the capital in Washington, D.C. And there are people who are trying to change the narrative. They're saying, oh, they were just going as tourists. They were actually being shown around. Yes, there are pictures of that or videotape of that. But there is also consequences that a lot of them suffered. But people are trying to whitewash that and trying to say, don't make them suffer so much. See, that's the world's way of whitewashing things, whether it's a moral decision, whether it's whether it's how we view the whole issue of gender, how we view abortion, how we view people rationalize the hurting of others. Because they'd say, oh, I do it in the name of this or in the name of that. The Bible says very clearly here in 1 Peter, he says, be careful. He says, you will suffer for the things that you are wrong for, that you commit wrongly. But it says there, but when we suffer for righteousness' sake, sometimes we will suffer and we will go through these things. Now, Peter's writing to a people who were going to go through a persecution. We see that in 1 Peter. He's warning them. 2 Peter, they're already in it, and he's writing them how to persevere, how to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. He's helping them understand. And so the world that these people lived in, it was very different than the world that we live in now, but there are still some things that we can measure the same. And we need to understand that, as a friend of mine said, he says, the Bible, it was not written to us, it was written for us. So we can apply things, but it wasn't, you know, when Peter wrote, inspired divinely by the Spirit of God, he also wrote with the people that he was writing to in mind. They were going to suffer persecution. And so he's writing with all this understanding, and he's drawing on history, as we saw from 1 Peter 3:15. He's drawing on history, and he's saying, don't be like Ahaz, who said one thing, and that yet behind the scene, he was still making deals and alliances with the Assyrians. He was doing with the pagans and the ungodly. God says, be careful. And he said it through the prophet Isaiah. He was still saying it through the apostle Peter. And today the words of the apostle Peter are being read. And through this message, hopefully I can say to you and just as a servant of God, that we need to be careful and be truly trying our best to set ourselves apart, to be sanctified, to allow God that process to work in us. And so as we look at 1 Peter 3:15, there's a couple of other verses that I want to take a look at that I've put all up here. Now, instead of experiencing fear as we face the enemy, so in a crisis, okay, we can experience blessing. So if the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord, the word happy is the same word as blessed in 1 Peter 3:15 or 3:14, and let's just go back there briefly, and it says there in 3:14 it says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed, or you will be happy, you will be joyful, have no fear of them nor be troubled. In other words, how do we prioritize and turn everything over to God? And so we have to ask ourselves this question, and this is what we do. Now, we'll get to these verses that are up on the screen, but we need to understand what this word blessed in 1 Peter 3:15 also means. And this is a part of also what we see in 1 Peter 1 and verse 8, where it talks about the fact that we have joy unspeakable. It says, verse 8 of 1 Peter 1, verse 8, it says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. And that's how we make those choices to honor God. And so we can also take a look at a verse in Matthew, and in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, which alludes to this as well, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. And what it says is the following, is that it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right there in the Beatitudes, it says there. So in other words, God says, look, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, and you put me in priority, what happens? You will be blessed. You will be have joy. It's totally opposite of what the world says. They says, avoid suffering. Oh, man, try to avoid any sort of suffering. Try to get away from it, whatever you can do. Now, none of us are looking for suffering. None of us are looking for difficult circumstances. But when they come our way, we have to measure them. And we have to say, did I cause this myself? Or is this something that the Lord is allowing to happen in my life? And that is difficult. I know a lady who right now, she's gone through a lot of suffering in her life, and she blames everything. Now, for the most part, I have to say that they are not her fault, but it is a very, very difficult time for her. And I feel very badly for her. But how is she handling it? She lashes out at family. She lashes out at friends. She lashes out at her children. And so instead of looking to the Lord, she is angry. Another young man that I know, he just came over to visit this week, a wonderful young man, and his girlfriend broke up with him. And you know what he said to me? He said, this has been a good time. He says, I'm heartbroken, but he says, I am really leaning into the Lord. He's really helping me. And I congratulated him. I said, that is just fantastic that you're doing that, because that is what the Lord wants. He wants us to lean in on him, even when we are going through a difficult time. That's the moment. That's the beautiful and an incredible place of learning. that God creates for us. But Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what we see there, right? And so we understand that God, in his kindness, he wants us to understand that his kingdom and his righteousness is what he wants to add unto us. Also in Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, it says, I appeal to you therefore, brethren or brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. There it is, that by testing you may discern what the will of God. Sometimes we have to go through maturing experiences. We have to go through some of those difficult times. That's what Derek was telling us in his testimony. He was saying, you know, he all of a sudden he was without some of those things that he had identified himself to. He even trusted in some of those things, whether it was a relationship, whether it was the identity of belonging to a band. Those are things that are temporal, things that come and go. He can tell you now and look back, but boy, when you're going through it, what do? We run to those things and we think, this is really going to fulfill me. But in the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God today, Derek is being using his musical talents and helping the assembly at Park Crest. Why? Because he learned from that. That's what learning to be set apart for God is. That is what leaning in on God is. And it says there that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. The purposes of God sometimes come out through the difficulties of life. And then it says at the very end, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so what we see here is that God can work in and through us. Honoring God, when we give our crisis and fears to God, it leads to opportunity to witness. And that's what I want to look at as we close. When we give our crisis over and fears to God, it leads for opportunities to witness. How is that? Well, when I trust God, when I see him help me through any given situation, any crisis, he creates the opportunity for me to witness. Now, when the Lord is the Lord of our lives, each crisis becomes that opportunity. So it says here, we should always be ready to give an answer. The idea here is apology, and it comes from the Greek word, I believe, apologia, and it isn't the word, you know, we think of an apology as someone who says, I'm sorry, but the idea here is not to say, I'm sorry, it's to give an answer. Or apologetics in the branch of theology, it really deals with the defense of our faith in Christ. And so every Christian should be able to give some sort of reasoned defense of your hope in Christ. So a crisis can create opportunity for witness. So next time you're going through crisis and you start leaning in on the Lord, that's an opportunity for you to witness to the non-believer, or even to a person who's has left the church, or even someone who has slidden back into worldly practices in their life. You can be a testimony to them. Crisis sometimes brings these things, and it leads opportunity to witness. Now, the unbelievers will sit up and take notice when you behave in a way that displays your faith and your hope. And that's what 1 Peter 3:15 really is trying to help us understand. Now, this witness needs to be done with meekness or gentleness and respect. Meekness and fear, but I like gentleness and respect, which is basically the same. It's a little bit more understandable in today's vernacular. So we are witnesses. Okay, we're not prosecuting attorneys. We're not people that are, you know, I'm going to and when we witness, we condemn people. That's not our. We defend the gospel, but we do it with gentleness and respect. We don't come out with guns blazing. We don't put people down. As I said, this pastor, he was just speaking with venom. And even later on in the week, he spoke out against another a non-Christian sect. And he spoke in ways that were just so inappropriate. He's missed the point. Jesus, the Apostle Peter, he says to us, he says, when you defend your faith, as you prioritize God, and you go through difficult times, you don't make alliances with things that are going to affect your testimony and have bad outcomes for you. But when you do go through things and you suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll come out like gold on the other side if you trust in God, and you'll have an opportunity to witness. But don't do it with arrogance. Don't do it with like, oh yeah, that person wronged me, and you know, this is what I learned from it. No, we do it with gentleness and respect. And usually that happens. Why? Because that's when we go into the presence of God. In 2 Corinthians 3, it talks about Moses, and it refers to back when in the book of Exodus, when Moses went up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, and he came back and he had to cover his face because the glory of God was being shone out from him. Well, we don't need to do that. What each and every one of us can do is, by the mercies of God, we can enter in, and we can, and it says, I think in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that we go from glory to glory. We can be involved in the presence of God. And that's a beautiful place to be. So we are witnesses. We're witnesses. Peter didn't suggest that Christians argue with lost people. Be careful of getting into silly arguments with people who are not believers. Okay. But rather present to them, an account of your life. Your testimony is a great way of what you believe, but get to know what you believe. The other night I was talking with some young people, and I've got a book here, and it's written by Paul Little, and I'm sure some of you have seen it, and it's an excellent book, and it says, Know Why You Believe. Know why you believe. You know, if you're looking, look for something simple. This stuff actually can be found online nowadays. Know why you believe. Get to understand just the basic fundamentals of faith. You know, is Christianity rational? Is there a God in Christ? Is Christ God? Are miracles possible? Does science and scripture agree? You know, this is just one book of many that can help you and guide you to give proper defense of your faith, but do it with gentleness and respect, not with arrogance, not with hurting other people, and in the way that we can. So one evidence that Jesus Christ is Lord in our lives is the readiness with which we witness to others about him and seek to win them for Christ. That is our responsibility. So when we do that with gentleness and respect. And as we do that, I just want to encourage your heart to do it with gentleness and respect, honoring God, give him priority in your life. That is, first of all, don't make unholy alliances. You know, history has told us they always fail. How do we know that? Well, the country of Israel fell apart. They ended up going into exile. They ended up losing everything. And sadly to say, today, you know, that can happen even in our lives. As believers, we can sell out. And sometimes you don't even know if the person, you know, those people in Israel, those kings, they did not know the Lord. And they just sold themselves down the river. But you and I, we can look back at history. We can see these things. Let's suffer for righteousness' sake, not of sin and circumstances of our own making. And when we come out on the other side, let's witness, but do it with a knowledge of what we're talking about. And you know what? Only when you go through experiences, your knowledge really can come through. But do it with gentleness and respect. And so as we honor the Lord, may Christ be exalted as we live for him and as we honor him according to his purposes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the gift of salvation. And we thank you for the testimony we heard. We thank you for our brother Derek and for his service for you and for Shannon and for the work that they do with Camp Anvil, especially, and up at Morningstar. And Lord, they're at Park Crest. May you bless this young couple and their beautiful, beautiful little family. And pray for all our brothers and sisters at Park Crest, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be true witnesses of Christ. Help us to go through experiences, but to come out shining on the other side, to come out like gold, so that we can be true witnesses of who you are and what you've done, and to do it with a gentleness and a respect that will woo people to your side. And Lord, we will be sure to give you all the glory. Thank you for your love and your grace. Be with us now. The rest of this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
On the day I gave my testimony, he's the one that's speaking, because he, as some of you may know, he did our premarital counseling, and sometimes I feel like he knows me better than I know myself. So it was nice to have him here to kind of clarify some of the points I tried to make. So thanks, Dave. So let's just close the service worshiping God together through song. I see your face in every sunrise. The colors of the morning are inside your eyes. The world awakens in the light of the day. I look up to the sky and say, you're beautiful. I see your power in the moonlit night, where planets are in motion and the galaxies are bright. We are amazed in the light of a star. It's all proclaiming who you are. You're beautiful. I see you there hanging on a tree. You bled and then you died and then you rose again for me. Now you are sitting on your heavenly throne. Soon you will be coming home. You're beautiful. Beautiful. When we arrive at eternity's shore, where death is just a memory and tears are no more, we'll enter in as the wedding bells ring. Your bride will come together and we'll sing. You're beautiful. Oh, thanks so much. I'm just getting to you, as we've mentioned, that we have our fellowship lunch downstairs. So I'm just going to give thanks for the food. Is that a good idea, Andrew? I think so. So let's just give thanks for the food, and we'll move on from there. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning where we can praise you and worship you and learn from you. We just thank you this morning for that, and we also thank you for the food that's been prepared. We pray that you'll bless it to us as we think about Parkrest as body, and yeah, we just thank you for the food. In your name we pray. Amen.